Welcome to Torati Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hanalei Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shoftim, Perek Yud Beis, Chapter 12. We ended last Perek with Yiftach being victorious in his battle with Ammon, but sacrificing his daughter, either literally or by isolating her, not letting her get married, due to an oath that he took, which he did not revoke because he didn't know that he could. Although there was a tremendous victory, it was bittersweet. And now things are going to get a lot worse. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayitzaek ish Ephraim, vayavar tzafona. The tribe of Ephraim is once again unhappy, and they pull together an army, and they are moving north. Vayomru liyiftach, and they said to Yiftach, Madua avarta li lachem bivnei Ammon, v'lanu lo koras ala lachas himach. You went to fight Ammon, and you didn't call us. You didn't ask us to be part of the battle. Beischa nisrof alacha ba'esh. We are going to burn down your house. Like by the time of Gidon, the Shevet of Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, is insulted that they weren't called to join in the war. It seems like Ephraim always felt like they were the primary son, they were the more important son, although they were younger than Menashe. When Yaakov, our forefather, blessed them so many years ago, Yaakov deliberately put his right hand on Ephraim to show that leaders would come from this tribe. Since that time, they always felt superior, and they expected to be called. But this was much worse than with the time of Gidon. During the time of Gidon, they were asked to help, albeit after the battle, but there were still two generals that they were able to kill out, so they were able to feel like they had part of it. Also, here they come with a direct threat. They gather for war, and instead of being makir tov, instead of showing gratitude to Yiftach that he saved the Jewish nation, they come to burn his house down. Pasuk Beis, Yiftach was not having any of it. In verse 2, Vayomer Yiftach aleihem, Ish riv ha'isi ani va'ami uvnei Ammon ma'od. Me and my nation and bnei Ammon, we fought a terrible battle. It was really hard. Ve'ezak eschem v'lo hashatem oisi mi'adam. I cried out to you and nobody came to save us. For 18 years we were crying to someone, anyone, please come and help us. And no one came. And in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, when I saw that nobody was coming to help, I went and I put my life in my hands. I went to Bnei Ammon. Hashem helped me, and I won. What are you coming here to fight me? Yiftach answers them, but not with chachma. He answers them with a little bit of gaiva, a little bit of haughtiness, and with explanations that are defensive. Yiftach was correct here, but that makes him even angrier. Gidon used his chachma. Gidon was able to calm them down by being humble, by saying, what you did was so much more powerful than what I did, even though it wasn't true, and this calmed Ephraim down. And Yiftach did not have it in him to do that. Yes, Yiftach was the leader. He is called, as we've mentioned before, these three Shoftim, Gidon and Shimshon, who we're going to learn about next, and Yiftach are called Kalei Olam. They are the weakest of our Shoftim. They are the weakest of the leaders. Yes, they were people that we needed at that time. It says about these three weak leaders, Yiftach Bedoro, Kishmuel Bedoro. Shmuel was one of the great, but Yiftach in his generation was like Shmuel in his generation. We get the leaders that we deserve. And Yiftach deserved to be respected. And Ephraim made a terrible mistake. I am an Am Haaretz, he said. Perhaps he was one of the Kalei Olam, but Hashem came to help me. What are you coming now to fight? Ephraim should have left, but they didn't. And they start a devastating war. And so Yiftach gathers his soldiers. In Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Vayikpots Yiftach es kol anshei Gilad, Vayilachem es Ephraim. They start to fight back against Ephraim. Vayaku anshei Gilad es Ephraim. And they fought, Gilad fought back Ephraim, and here we're going to see why they fought Ephraim, what Ephraim has said, ki amru plite Ephraim, because the least people of Ephraim said, Atem Gilad betoch Ephraim betoch Menashe. What it means is, I'm not going to translate it literally because it's hard to understand it, but they were speaking in derogatory terms about Gilad. They said, you are the weakest tribe, Menashe, and you're the weakest family of Menashe. Menashe was the only tribe that was split on two sides of the Yarden. And he says, who are you? Who considers you anything? Not an Ephraim, not even a Menashe. You are not important. What a terrible fight, mostly because we are our own worst enemies. It's an internal struggle. It's happening between two tribes of the Jews. We see the terrible lack of unity amongst the Jews at this time, and like then, like now, like always, the scariest thing is when we can't get along with each other. The scariest thing is when we're fighting each other. Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Yilkot Gilad Esma Abros HaYarden LeEphraim, and they capture the gateway for the Yarden that Ephraim would have to cross to get back home. And when those who were running away, the refugees of Ephraim, would say, Evora, let me pass by this river, let me pass the river, and the people of Gilad would say, Ephrasiata, are you from Ephraim? Meaning, we're not going to let you go if you're from Ephraim. And they would say no, meaning the refugees would try and lie. And the people from Gilad, from Manasseh, they had a test to see whether you're indeed from Ephraim or not. Emarna Shiboles. Say the word Shiboles. Shiboles means, according to Rashi, the rushing streams. Meaning they didn't say we're going to test you. They just got them into a conversation to see could they say the word Shiboles. Because the people of Ephraim had an interesting dialect that didn't have a sh in it. So they couldn't say Shiboles. Vayomer Siboles. They would say Siboles. V'lo yachin ledaber kein. They didn't have the emotional energy as they were running away from a battle. It would be very hard to fake an accent. So they weren't able to say it properly. V'yachazu also, and if they would find somebody like that, they would grab him. V'yishchetuhu al ma'abros hayarden, and they killed him on the ma'abros hayarden. Incredibly, awfully. V'yipol be'esahim Ephraim arba'im ushnaim alef. 42,000 people from the tribe of Ephraim were killed at this time. We would imagine that people from Gilad must have also died. It can't be that they didn't die, but we only find the records of those who started the fight. Chazal say, whose fault is this? Whose fault is it, these 42,000 people who died? And Chazal say, our rabbis say, that anybody who has the ability to protest and doesn't protest, anyone who has the ability to have a positive impact on the Jews and doesn't go out to do it, called damim shenishvachim b'Yisrael nishbechu al yadav. Any blood that is spilled, Jew against Jew, is spilled through his hand. Where were you? Why didn't you come? Chazal say Pinchas, who is the Kohen Gadol, who has been around for so many years, who is the one who does have the ability to say something, to do something, to protest. He should have come to Ephraim and he should have said, Ephraim, now you're coming? You could have come to help Yiftach, who, as we said, was not a Talmud Chacham when he made his neder, when he made his oath to sacrifice his daughter. Where were you then? Now you're coming? Now you're coming to wage war? But we see that Pinchas does not come. Pinchas, as a result, is going to lose his nevuah. He's not going to be able to, he will not have nevuah anymore. Yiftach also has a tragic end, a horrible story. Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, Veishpot Yiftach es Yisrael sheshanim. He is the shofet, he is the leader for 6 years. Vayamas Yiftach HaGiladi, and Yiftach HaGiladi dies, Vayikaver, and he is buried ba'arei Gilad, in the cities of Gilad, which leads the commentaries to ask, in the cities of Gilad? How is he buried in the cities? Rashi says, he was sick, and he lost his limbs to his sickness, and he was buried, his limbs literally fell off, and they were buried wherever he was when that limb fell off. So he was, indeed, buried in a few different cities for the mistake that he made about his daughter. It sounds so bad. We do need to remember that Sefer Shoftim gives us headlines. Like, we only get the headlines. We don't know, this is one tribe, Ephraim, and one part of the tribe of Manasseh. We don't know what was happening in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. We don't know about the regular people leading regular lives. And when we're going to talk about the next three Shoftim, the next three leaders, it barely says anything about them. We learn about the next leader who comes up after Boaz, after Yiftach in Pasuk Ches, his name is Iftzan. And Iftzan, according to the rabbis, is Boaz. Boaz, who we know about from Sefer Rus. He was the one who ends up eventually marrying Rus. He is from Shevet Yehuda. Ve'yulo shloshim banim u'shloshim banos, Pasuk Tes. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and he did something interesting. He deliberately chose to take spouses from his children, not from his own tribe, but min hachutz, from outside his shevet. This tells us that he was a very desirable person. Everybody knew about him, and everybody wanted to be part of his family. Ve'ishpotes Yisrael shevashanim. and he is the leader of Yisrael for 7 years. Question the Chazal ask, that our rabbis ask, if this Ivtzan Boaz had 60 children, where are they? Why don't we know anything about them? And the Gemara tells us an interesting story, a tragic story. He said he had 60 children, and he threw a staggering 120 wedding parties. This is blessedly a minhag that we don't have today. But he made 2 weddings for each child. One he made, and one was in the house of the father-in-law of the child. And he invited lots of people to the weddings, but there was one person he didn't invite, and that person was Manoach, who we're going to learn about next. Manoach, according to some, was actually a brother-in-law. Some say Manoach's wife, again, who we're going to learn about, was a sister to Boaz. Why didn't he invite Manoach? So the Talmud says it in a very cold way. He says that Boaz Ivtzan made a cheshbon. He came up with a thought. He said, you know, I'm going to invite him to my weddings, and I'm going to feed him at each of my weddings. But he doesn't have children. Manoach was childless, was a big part of the story. And he's never going to be able to repay me. So why should I invite him and give him food when he'll never be able to give me food? Okay, so this makes very little sense if we know everything else that we know about Boaz, who was a very kind person, did tremendous chesed. And so there are some who will explain it by saying that he didn't want Manoach to feel bad. He didn't want Manoach to feel like he's making another wedding and another wedding and another wedding, and I'm going to keep on going to his weddings and I don't have any children. However, Boaz Ivtzan does get punished for this misstep because he did make Manoach feel very bad. And the Gemara concludes by saying all of them, the 60 children, died in his lifetime. It does seem like he learned his lesson, though, in our other sefer about him, Megillas Rus. We see his great kindness. We also see about his name. He was called Ivtzan from the word tzinun, which means to cool down. He was able to cool down his impulse, his taiva, his lust, whatever it means, meaning he was in the granary for a whole night with Rus, and he had in his head, he knew Ruach HaKodesh, he was supposed to marry this woman, and from their union was going to come the future Malchus, the future of all the royalty of Klal Yisrael. David HaMelech is going to be born from this union, and yet he did not touch Rus the whole night, he said, because we cannot properly get married tonight. We have other technical things that have to be taken care of before, I'm not going to go into it now, but to be able to hold himself back that night when he knew that there was something that could be done and should be done, he was able to wait. For the same reason, he's called Boaz from Azos, from Oz, from strength. He had strength over his Yetzirah, and he was able to hold back. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Ve'ishpot acharav es Yisrael Eilan hazvuloni. All we know about him is that he's from Zvulon, Ve'ishpot es Yisrael eser shanim, 10 years. Again, 10 years of peace, of quiet. Seemingly the Jews were doing good things. We don't really know. Pasuk Yud Gimel 13, Ve'ishpot acharav es Yisrael Avdon ben Hillel ha-Pirasoni, Avdon, son of Hillel, from Pirason. We're going to see he's from Ephraim. He was a ruler. Also in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he also had a huge family. Ve'yulo arba'im banim, he had 40 sons. Ushloshim b'nei banim, and 30 grandsons. And all of them, rochvim al shivim ayarim, riding on 70 donkeys. It shows that they don't have to work hard. They could just ride around on their donkeys. It also shows it was peaceful because riding on donkeys means that this is a peacetime animal to ride on. When you're at war, you're riding on horses. Ve'ishpotes Yisrael shmona shanim. And he rules Yisrael for 8 years. So we have now really 25 years of peace and quiet where we don't know very much about what was going on. And the parak ends in Pasuk Tesvav, verse 15. Ve'yamas avdon ben hillel ha-pirasoni. Ve'yikaver be-pirason be'eretz Ephraim. He's buried in Pirason in the land of Ephraim. Bahar ha-amaleki, by the mountain of Amalek, which, just a technical point, is that Amalek is in the south and Ephraim is in the center of Eretz Yisrael, so it can't be that it means that he was buried near Amalek, but there must have been a war or something must have happened with an Amaleki at some historical point, that there was a mountain in Ephraim that was called Bahar ha-amaleki. So this brief reprieve takes us to our next major story, which will start in the next parak, that of Shimshon, the last of the 3 shoftim, the last of the 3 judges who are called Kalei Olam, the weak the weak judges of the Jewish nation. Thank you for learning in memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Shenker, Rachel Friedman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Aleihem HaShalom, Neshot Chayil, who lived with utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, and Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. Nina and Chaim Shenker.